Well, I titled this Abiding in Love, and it's really impacted me was a chapter in, with this title to it in a book by James Jordan called The Ancient Road Rediscovered. And so a lot of the inspiration for this was some of the work of the Father's been doing in my heart after reading that chapter and just how it has really changed my thinking in a lot of directions, and to share with you some of the revelation that has come to me as a result of that. Let's start off with 1 John 4:16, where part of that verse says that God is love. And it's not that he has love or that we know that he loves us, but that he is love. That is really significantly a different perspective and means that love is a person. God is love. And when we speak of love, we could speak of God, and when we speak of God, we could interchange that with love. You could read any of the scripture verses and change God to the word love, and it will impact you if you start doing that. It's really an interesting way to put the love inside of you, is the thinking of that in your heart. And what that really means is that love has substance to it. We can give love away, and we can receive love. There's something there, more than just the word. There's a substance to it. We can experience love. We can feel love when we go into a home that has a loving atmosphere, or we get into a worship time. We can experience and feel that love. It has substance to it. It has an impact on us. And we can allow that love to change us as it gets into our heart. And one of the first connections I made was with Ephesians 3:19 and Paul's prayer, that part of it where he says that we might know the love of Christ that passes understanding and be filled with all the fullness of God. And I got a whole new understanding what he means by knowing the love that passes understanding, because this love that I'm talking about is not something of the head. It's not something we can figure out with our mind. It's not the fact that we can memorize these verses and stuff. It's an understanding that goes deep into our heart. And it's because this love that I'm talking about is the God kind of love. And it's a love that is only understood by us by experiencing it. It's through the experiential knowing of that love that changes our lives and impacts our lives. And it's through that intimate relationship that we have with him. And that's one of the reasons why we open our house to soaking, as we're believing that if you come here, you can have an experience of love. You can build upon this knowledge base, this experiential knowledge base of love. And every time you have a quiet time or allow yourself to focus on the presence of God in your life, or when you're worshiping and at church, or when you're just worshiping, like Sue and I will put some worship music on and just worship the Lord. And it's that building of that experiential part of the love that really changes your life. And we share a little bit more of this, so I think you'll begin to understand that. James Jordan defines sonship as living in the continuous experiencing of the Father loving you. That's what one of his definitions of sonship. And there's a couple key words in there, the continuous, which I'll touch on a little more. You'll begin to see and understand why he says continuous and how important continuous experiencing of his love is. Like right now, I believe you're all experiencing his love. I believe that tonight when you're in the soaking time, you're going to all experience more of his love. And it's that continuous experience of being loved by him that is really significant in our lives. And it's that extravagant, unconditional, passionate, wonderful, awesome love that the Father has for us. And that is just so life-changing when we start to consider that. And the next thing that came up was something that James shares in this chapter, what impressed him is 1 John 4:19. We love him because he first loved us. And as far as James is concerned, that's probably the most important verse that we could ever learn and understand in the whole, all of the scriptures, that it's the result of Him loving us that we are able to love. And that has just so rocked my thinking and changed my way of looking at things. And it's just a nice short little verse, but it's so powerful. You know, God is the original lover. He is love, and so He had to start giving out love to everybody. He's the first one. He had the love to give, and you can't give away what you haven't received first. So in order for us to love, we have to first receive His love. So we love because He first loved us. And to know anything about love, you have to first experience Him loving you. And that is a powerful thought. I have just really spent some time thinking about that. And it's that experience of Him loving us, this continuous loving. And we went through a whole teaching by Bill Johnson on experiencing the presence of God. And there's a book on practicing the presence of God. It's all part of that continuous experiencing of Him loving us. That there's not a moment in the time of your day, whether you're awake or asleep, that He isn't loving us. He's continuously pouring out His love. That's why you can wake up in the middle of the night with a song in your heart. I wake up with words experiencing His love, even as we sleep. And then I got to thinking, and there's a lot of people who quote the scripture verses and they say, well, we need to walk in love. When your enemy spitefully uses you, you know, give him your cloak, turn the other cheek. Faith works by love, and perfect love casts out fear. Well, those are all true, but the only way that really works in our lives is if we are experiencing His love. And continuously experiencing His love. I keep repeating that because those are two significant words that I want to get into your heart. Is that as we are able to experience His love, then faith does work. And I was thinking about, it makes it easy to believe to have your needs met. It makes it easy to believe that Father is going to protect you, that He is going to take care of everything in our lives, because He's continuously pouring out His love on us, and as we experience that, we can see faith work. We can experience the freedom from fear. That's the love that's doing it. The thing that came to my thinking when I was meditating on this is I thought, well, thank God for His grace and mercy. Because there were many, many years in my life, because of the orphan heart that I had, that I really didn't experience His love. I was walking around in a total fog as far as the Father loving me, and yet, because of His grace and mercy, and He was continuously pouring out His love on me, whether I was experiencing my life, there were a lot of good things that happened. And there were only really just very short glimpses of a couple events in my life where I really had a personal, intimate experience of His love. When I was saved, on a campus crusade when I was 21, and when I was filled with the Holy Spirit in a motel room, and just the next couple days, I just had this tremendous, overwhelming sense of love in my heart. So when we experience His love, it will cast out the fear. When we experience His love, we won't be offended. When you're completely full of the love of the Father, you will automatically have love come out towards other people. Mm-hmm. And you won't be offended at them, and you won't get angry. You won't respond in an unloving way if you're full of love. I see why Paul was praying that all of us would be filled with all the fullness of God. Mm-hmm. And when we're in that condition, then it'll be easy to forgive, and it will be easy to respond in love and turn the other cheek and do the things that the scriptures say that are good for us to do. And when we experience His love, we won't feel rejection, or we won't have this fear of rejection. One of the things that was continually harassment to me was the fear of being rejected. I would reject other people before they had a chance to reject me, so that I didn't feel the pain of that rejection. And so I was constantly living in this fear about what other people thought of me, what, you know, if I made a mistake, all because of the things that happened to me growing up. And it wasn't until I started consciously being aware of his love, when I really had my heart healed, and started to get rid of this orphanness in my heart and experiencing his love, then I started to say, and it would, to defeat this whole fear of rejection in my life, that it really doesn't matter what somebody thinks about me or what somebody does to me, because my daddy still loves me.
Mm.
And that just totally turned around fear of rejection and fear of making mistakes and fearing of doing things wrong in my life. And it has really helped me walk away from that fear of rejection that used to harass and torment me all the time. And Jesus said that by this all will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. And love is a mark of true Christianity. When we are filled with his love, everybody's going to start seeing that love. And they will start asking, what is the difference in your life? I've already had a couple people that knew the before and after me that have said, you know, what is different? There's something different about you. Especially if you come across somebody you haven't seen for a while. And they say, wow, you are different. There's something different about you. And it opens up the opportunity for you to share that love that's in your heart with someone else and impact their lives with that same love of the Father. And then another verse that James Jordan was wrestling with for a long time and finally got the understanding of is 1 John 4:8, where John says that he who does not love does not know God. And for the longest time, he felt like a lot of people do, equating not knowing God with not being born again. You start questioning your salvation and things, why I responded in an unloving way. You know, I must not be saved. I can't be saved if I'm reacting this way to someone or hurting somebody by my actions that I've done. And what really it boils down to is this, the fact is that when we behave that way, and we all do it, there's times when I still can get upset at Sue and say things or raise my voice and act in unloving ways, and I can respond and hurt someone else, not intentionally, but you can send relational messages to other people that can hurt them. And it's just that I'm not a sinner. It's not that I've lost my salvation or I was never saved or born again, that I'm some terrible bad person. I don't have to beat up on myself and translate into I'm a bad person. It's just the fact that in that particular moment, I was disconnected with the love of the Father. I wasn't aware of his love in my heart. There wasn't that flow. That's why the word continuous. And we can continuously experience that love. Then these moments when we're disconnected become fewer and fewer in our lives, and there'll be fewer and fewer times that we respond in an unloving way to someone else. And I think Sue would attest to, over the years, I have become more and more connected to his love, and there are less and less times. And even the intensity of those times has diminished and shortened in length. I could be upset at her for long periods of time. And now they don't last very long anymore, because I'm more connected with that love. But there will be moments, and I think in everyone's life, when we so wish I hadn't have said that, or wish I hadn't have responded that way, but it was just a moment when we lost that connection of his love in our hearts. But when our hearts are full of love, our immediate and automatic response is going to be love for that other person, and we're not going to step over into that other area. I remember Jack Frost saying years ago, one of the first things that I really impacted my heart with is about fear, because I used to be tormented by fear of getting up and speaking in front of people, fear of being able to do something correctly, fear of losing money. I was investing in the stock market and things like that, that just constantly harassed with fear. And Jack said, well, if you have fear in your life, it just means that you need a little more of his love. It's just an area that you need more love in. That was just so life-changing for me. So when I'm sitting there and there are several people speaking and it's coming down to me speaking and the fear is building inside of me, I've been able to say, well, Daddy, I just need more of your love right now. And it would just disquiet that fear. That fear would just go out of me and I'd get up and share and not be totally free from any fear of that going on. And so if you're aware that you've just slipped up or something, instead of beating up on yourself and getting upset and just realize, well, I just was not connected to the Father right then and I was wrong. And to admit, maybe you need to go and tell that other person. I have more of a tendency to go to Sue and admit that I was wrong and ask for forgiveness. And allow that love to begin to come up out of you again, and then take some time to, maybe you just need to take some time. It's just a signal, just like fear can be a signal that I need more love. It's just a place in my life, in my heart, that still is not, still got a little orphanness in it and needs to have that love to replace it. So the desire tonight, if any of that has registered on your heart, or the Holy Spirit has brought anything up, maybe of a remembrance of something where you may not have responded in love, that you just ask the Father to love you. You know, crawl up in His lap, have Him put His arms around you and hold you, or take a walk with you through the woods, or play with you. Sue's had Him splashing water at her. Was it a swimming pool or in the ocean? In the ocean, yeah. They were playing and splashing water on each other in the ocean. So there are different ways that your Father will come to you and help you experience more of His love and intimacy.